Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn to Isaiah chapter 64. As some of you know, we did have our midweek and AGM on Thursday evening, and it was a good time together. At the close of that, I made some remarks, beginning with the words in Job chapter 21, which I have been referring to, and David, you can maybe bring it on there. And I just want to, as it were, rehearse that just extremely quickly and then pick up almost from where I left. Job 21 and verse 14 says, "Yet they say to God, 'Leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways.'" Those words, though written a very, very long time ago, are very apt for life today in 2016. Those words could be writ large over the nation of which we are citizens. We are sadly growing up in a careless and, in many respects, a godless age, where people say to God, "Leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways." And like the children earlier, at least they're being honest, because at least that is exactly what many people say. They may not say it as bluntly as that to our faces. They may not say it as bluntly as that to a minister, but that's exactly what they think. They have no time for God. They just want to get on with their lives. And what a way to do. Well, as I mentioned on Thursday evening, there are a number of things that could be said. We said, first of all, we are not to despair. We shouldn't be surprised. This, of course, on another level, has been the case in every generation. Secondly, we are, I believe, under God to redouble our inspired, God-given, Holy Spirit-driven efforts to live for Jesus. And we're to get back to the basics. We live in an age where people are not slow to say to us, "We've no interest in that. We're not interested in the gospel. We're not interested in going to church." And we respect that view, whilst we profoundly are saddened by it. Now, what are we to do? Are we to throw up our hands in horror and jump into a corner and never come out again? No, we are to go back to the basics. We're to go back to the Word of God, back to the place of prayer, back to being faithful in our attendance at worship. And can I again say, and this has been a theme over recent times, the world may indeed be saying to God, "Leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways." But let us ensure that the Church of Jesus Christ does not do the same thing. And it seems to me that as we look up and down our country, especially with attendance at evening worship, that there are people who within the church are saying the same thing. And of course, they would want to say, "Well, we're not quite saying that. But why on the Lord's Day can we not be out at worship morning and evening? 2 hours in the week, is it too much to ask?" I don't think so. If God is God, then let us gather to worship him. But the third thing that I mentioned was that we need to seek after God. The age in which we live is a careless age. And it inspires us, hopefully, to seek after God afresh. Others are walking away from God. Let us draw near to God. Others are saying, "We don't have any interest in this God business." Let us have a renewed interest in the things of God and in the things of Jesus Christ. And that is the theme that I want to pick up on this morning. I'm sure I have quoted these words before. I don't have them on the screen, but A.W. Tozer, the famous Christian leader, and in one sense he was a bit of a prophet himself, he said this. He said, "It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God." I remember a colleague telling me, in one sense, a slightly amusing story, but in another sense, it wasn't amusing at all. He got a phone call from someone who was in the area. Is there a service on today? Yes. Is there anything special happening at the service? Yes. What is the special thing that's happening at the service? Well, we're hoping that God will be there. It wasn't quite the answer that the person on the other side of the phone was expecting. And it makes the point that sometimes we miss the point. And as I was saying with the boys and girls, the reason that we are here is first and foremost, hopefully, to meet with God. We've lost it, haven't we? Oh, how we need a renewed sense of God. And that, in many ways, is my theme this morning. Isaiah 64, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Now, we don't have the time this morning to, as it were, literally work our way through this wonderful chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. But that first little verse sets the scene. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The prophet is in a situation maybe not entirely unlike our own. Many people have walked away. Many things have happened that have changed the whole outlook. The prophet could have looked back to days when the temple and all would have been full of people. But that day's gone. What's to be done? He says, oh God, that you would come and rend the heavens, that you would come in a fresh and new way. It's amazing in life how much can be packed into a little word. That first little word of that verse, oh. There's a lot in that. Lloyd-Jones once said that true praying was always characterized by that word, oh, oh God, oh Lord, will you come? Will you help us? Oh God, we're in a pickle here. We're in a struggle. We're not going well. Oh God, oh God. Oh God, will you come? Lloyd-Jones once said, I do not hesitate to assert that it is the ultimate prayer, oh God, when it comes to revival. There's that word. Boys, take that word back with you to Tandragee. You've probably heard it many times. The word revival. Oh God, would you come? Will you touch us afresh? Will you revive us? Just notice, just briefly for a moment, how the writer goes on. Verse 1, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that the mountains would tremble before you. And then he uses some very dramatic language here. As when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. It's very dramatic language, speaking of how when God comes, things really happen. There is only one thing that can cause the mountains to quake, spiritually speaking. There is only one thing that can cause the brushwood to burn, spiritually speaking. There is only one thing that can cause the water to boil, spiritually speaking, and that is God, the power of God. And that is why we cry, Lord, would you come? Would you come amongst us? Oh, for a burden in a careless age. That is my sermon today. We live in a careless age. Oh, for a burden to fall upon professing men and women and young people who do profess to know and love the Lord Jesus. We can either allow the world to affect us and cause us to become more slack in our Christian living, or we can affect the world. So folks, what's it going to be? Do we allow an unbelieving pagan world to set the agenda for us? Or do we go out into that unbelieving pagan world and seek to live humbly and graciously and yet faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there are many examples that we could give down through the ages that should cause us to be burdened and troubled. Let me give you one example which is bang up to date. It affects our own country. It affects our own province. Some of you have sat here or in the hall or over in Mourne over the last couple of years. We always have an annual visit from the Belfast City Mission. And we thank God for the Belfast City Mission. But I think almost on every occasion in recent years, I think the missioner has shared with us how in many Protestant working class areas of Belfast, the churches are sitting virtually empty. Bibles are unopened, and people have no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without trying to be clever about the thing, for many of those dear people, the closest that they might get to having a Bible or seeing a Bible is when on the 12th morning it's unfurled in the banner. Folks, we need a burden. We need to be concerned about these things. We need to be troubled by these things. Not in the sense that we look on people and look down on them or are overly critical of people, but to be concerned, to have a godly, humble, Christ-centered concern for people, whether they're living in Belfast or whether they're living in Kilkeel or Tandragee or Portadown or wherever. Oh God, come and help us. Oh God, that there would be a concern for the things of God in these days. Isaiah says here, and in many ways it's a summary of so much. Isaiah 64, look at verse 7. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. Oh, for a burden. And what are we to do, folks? What are we to do within the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, let me make a few comments. Within the church, there are various things that you might hear being suggested. In a careless age, the temptation for the church, the temptation in some circles is maybe to tone down the message, make it more palatable. People will come if it's more palatable. No, they won't. They may come, but they'll not come to Christ. Or maybe the call to hype up the gospel. And that happens in some circles. The so-called health, wealth and prosperity gospel hypes the whole thing up, making promises that actually are not sustainable over the long term. And it's not helpful. Let's entertain the people, some say. Well, you can entertain the people if you want, but it will not bring them to Christ. And it will obscure the heart of the whole matter. Look for new methods and ideas, seeing them as the answer. Now, you know me well enough that I'm not a stuck-in-the-mud. I'm not against new methods and ideas if these things can commend the gospel and see people won for the Lord Jesus. But these things, note this, folks, these things in and of themselves are not the answer. The answer is God. God coming down. God moving by his Holy Spirit. God coming into the midst of a meeting like this, or a meeting in whatever church or community center around the country where people are gathering in the name of Jesus, and people going out from that meeting and say, God was there. God was there. God spoke to me today. I was converted today. God spoke to me. I was awakened today. I've been backsliding and God came and he spoke to me. That's what we need. Oh, for a burden for that. Brother and sister in Christ, I appeal to you today as your minister and your pastor, get alone with God. Go home today, whether it's today or tomorrow, and take that verse out in front of you and pray, oh God, that you would come. Oh God, that you would come into my family. Oh God, that you would come and touch that unbelieving spouse. Oh God, that you would come and touch that unbelieving son or daughter of mine. Oh God, that you would come and touch that unbelieving parent before it's too late. Oh God, come and do it, because I can't do it. Oh God, come and bless your church. Oh God, come and awaken the church of Jesus Christ, that we might be much in the main things, that we might not allow the world to set our agenda, that we might not allow ourselves to follow in the footsteps of a careless, slack age. We cannot whip up the Holy Spirit, and that's not, of course, what I am suggesting. But God can come. That is what I'm simply asking you to pray for. That God would come and put a burden on our hearts. A burden for himself. Let me appeal to young Christians here this morning. I know that you will look on me as a middle-aged man. And that is what I am. And you may say, young Christian here this morning, well, maybe when I'm a little bit older, maybe when I'm his age, I'll take things a wee bit more seriously. But can I appeal to you this morning, young Christian? And I know that there are young Christians here this morning. And I understand to some extent that life is not easy to be a Christian. You may be the only Christian in your class. You and a few others may be a very small number going to the Christian Union at school. And there is an amazing temptation to go on a different road. It's hard to be different. And even here in our own community, there are many things that go on that can lead us astray. Peer pressure. The temptation to get involved in drinking and even experimenting with drugs. The fact that all sorts of stuff, and we are well aware of this, all sorts of stuff can be sent around amongst young people in their phones. That is indeed an abomination. And I use my words carefully. Young Christian, stand against that. Don't allow yourself to get sucked into all of that. Don't allow yourself. By the grace of God, stand apart from that. And you know what, young Christian or young person, and you're wanting to live a different way, you might say to someone, you know, I'm going to be the only one. Yes, you may be the only one. But one with Jesus is a majority. It's never been easy to be a Christian. It's never been easy to be a young follower of the Lord Jesus. But let me say this, young Christian, the word of God says, those who honor me, I will honor them. And so I appeal to you, young Christian, young person, stand apart from a lot of that stuff, because it will actually harm you. Oh, for a burden in a careless age. And so this morning, what is essentially my message? My message is essentially that we would have a godly burden in a careless age. So whether you're young or middle-aged or more senior, we do live in a careless age. And maybe you're here this morning and you're a parent or a grandparent, and like all the rest of us, you say, you know what? There's been times that I haven't been what I should have been. I'm a believer, but I haven't quite been what I should have been. Well, don't allow the devil to stand on you, because he loves to come in a situation like that and just push you down and stand on you and say, you're a failure. You've made a mess of the thing. Do not listen to him. He is the father of lies. Pick yourself up, dust yourself down, and go home and say, Lord, I haven't always been what I should have been, but by the grace of God, I'm going to redouble my efforts to be a believer for Jesus Christ. Will you do that? It's not always easy. But by the grace of God, you and I can be what the Lord calls us to be in a very careless age, very slack age. And essentially, all that I'm appealing to you today is, don't allow the slackness of this age to make us slack. If the church becomes slack, well, then may the Lord have mercy on us. We are the people who are called to be different, not in an arrogant way, not in a triumphalistic way, but in a humble way, in a gracious way, to commend the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon people to repent and believe the gospel before it's too late. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to run from. Many people just simply don't believe that anymore. But that is what the church believes. That is what you believe if you claim to be a Christian. Now, do you really believe it? This morning, I've said enough. You probably agree with that. And by the way, I'm not scolding you. Not at all. I'm not having a go at anyone. It's not my style. Never has been. But I'm simply saying we live in a very, very careless, godless age. And we need a burden. We need to be concerned. We shouldn't be like the proverbial, whoever it was, fiddling while Rome burned. We should be up and at it, doing the very best that we can be for Jesus, praying, reading the word, attending our place of worship, bearing witness to the gospel, being a good neighbor to those around us, to friend and foe alike. All of these things, we could go on and on. But it's time to finish. Oh, for a godly burden in a careless age. And only the Holy Spirit can induce and inspire you to go home today, and after you've had your nice lunch, will you think about these things? Will it make any difference? Or will it be in one ear and out the other? Well, we trust that it will not. That we will go from this place with a godly concern. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Let us pray. Father, we realize that we touch on serious and sobering matters this morning. But Lord, we do pray that this message will be received in the spirit that it has been given. And Lord, that you would touch us, that you would give us a real concern, and that we would, by the grace of God, look to you for that reviving power, and that we would know your touch upon our lives. Deliver our young people, O God, from the evils of this world, and bless us all, young and old, and help us, by the grace of God, to be the very best that we can be for Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen.